All right. So I saw all these people in the restaurants. I'm thinking, man, they're usually not out this. I mean, a lot of the restaurants aren't even open on Sunday morning, but today they are. The little one in Rathdrum, the Breakfast Nook, I think is what it's called now. What's that called? Next to O'Malley's? Yeah, I think it's called a Breakfast Nook. They had people waiting outside. Whole families and groups. I said, whoa, this must be something special. No, Mother's Day. Sorry. Okay, I know that sounded weird, but they don't take their mother out any other Sunday. They don't take their mother out any other day of the week, special days. Oh, maybe their birthday. You know, it's a time when people get together and one day a year they say, Mom, I love you. It's like people coming to church on Christmas and Easter. Oh, I love you, God. Does that really cut it? No. But anyway, it says, the froward is the abomination of the Lord, but a secret is with the righteous. You know, they do all kinds of things, the people of the world, in their philosophies. And Jesus calls them the vain philosophies, the empty philosophies of the world. Okay? They're empty because they have no substance. Okay? And I'm not saying Mother's Day is one of those things that has no substance. No. It's good for us to remember our mothers, to remember those that give birth to our children, okay? To remember on this day of days that Sarah was also called to be a witness and a missionary along with Abraham. You say, well, how's that so? Abraham could not bear children himself, by the way. That would have been a true miracle of God. He needed Sarah. Whoa. They were co-inheritors of the grace of God. They were co-partners in this work that God had called them to. And even in the Hebrews chapter 11, it said that they, had they been mindful of what they left back home, had they been full of that, you know, the stuff that they left to be where they're at, wandering around in tents. I like camping, but usually about 6-7 days, I'm about done. I want to be back home. But this is their entire life. Had they both been mindful of what they left, they would not have seen the God work in their life. They would have not seen the greatness and the glory. They would have not had the faith and seen the faith to the end where they saw Joseph being born. It's like, wow. Isaac, I'm sorry, not Joseph. I'm confusing my Old Testament scriptures. They would not have seen that promise. But they looked for something else other than what was before and right in front of them. This morning, are we looking for something else? Or do we look to the world? A lot of people, even Christians, they look to the politicians, they look to rich people, and they say, oh man, if only I had 1/10 of what they had. Did you know money's a burden? It is a burden. Especially for we as Christians, because God has given it to us, these talents, that we're to invest wisely. Did you ever stop and think about that? The money you get is not just to pay bills and pay your tithe and set aside for retirement or going fishing or going hunting later on, you know, or going camping. It's not just for that. What you have been given by God and blessed with is for you to give God glory, for us to give God glory in these things, and not wasted on our own substance. It's like prayer. Man, we can have some great prayer. We can have some great times. We used to have prayer retreats, advances, rather. Man, we had great times. But Paul says, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss. Sometimes our prayer is all about us, that we may consume whatever prayer is on our own lusts, to our own desires. I get this way sometimes when I pray for my wife. I pray for her prosperity, good work, job. I pray for all this stuff for my wife. And one time it just hit me in the back of my mind. Am I praying because I love her, because God has given her to me? Or am I praying this just because I'm selfish? Because the more she makes, the more I get to reap the benefit. The better she is, the better it is for me at home. You know, am I just praying this so that things are better for me? Boy, I had to struggle with that a long time. But no, I don't. I pray because I generally love her. I want her the best for her. And it's one of those things. Besides that, the Bible also says that I am to create an environment or in my home that she can grow in the spirit. If she's not growing, I'm not doing my job. Okay? I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. Not because man has placed it on me, because God's placed it on me. Okay? That was a little rabbit we chased down the hole. We're not to look to the prosperous of this world, because most of them are wicked. I never thought that reality TV would be a thing when I was a kid. And it is. You follow people like the Kardashians. Okay, you don't maybe, but other people do. To a point where, oh, this is the Kardashians. Well, we know about all their love life and everything. And I get texts from her daily and I look all this stuff. It's like, oh, wow. What do they do for a living? Nothing. They don't. All the other reality TV stars, what do? Nothing. They got people that do blogs and posts and other stuff on TV. What do? Nothing. But they're movers and shakers in the world. Why? The most famous of them all in that family of the Kardashians is Bruce Jenner. He married into it. Oh, and then he became something else. I forget what his, her its name now is. And it's like, okay, he was the only one I could say, oh, yeah, I know that guy. No, I don't know him. He's not a guy anymore. But it's like, it's people like that. I mean, the whole world goes after people like that. And they have no substance. They have nothing in God. And God says the froward, the perverse, the people that are actively going out against the things of God. Okay, they may not have said, well, God is no longer alive, dead, and he's dead and all this stuff. They may not come out and said those exact words, but their life says that there is no God. Their very life, their very actions, the very words that come out of their mouth, they say there is no God. In Proverbs, we're going to read, and we have read, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Doesn't say he said it out loud, but in his heart, he does not believe that there's God. That's the froward, the perverse, that there is no God. And God says, don't look at these people and think that you might want something of them. There's a book out there, 10 Things That Famous People or Rich People Do. Okay, there's a bunch of books out there like that. And you read it and you follow those things and you should get rich. None of those things have to do with God. Why would we want to follow them? Don't look at them. Okay? Because God said his secret is with the righteous. And like I pointed out that week, God wants to come up alongside you with the Holy Spirit, put his arm around you, and whisper things in your ears just for you. Isn't that a great thing? First time I taught this, I had Brother Carey and Miss Carey. The other Carries that were here, Sanders, Brother and Mrs. Sanders, I had him put his arm around here and whisper, start whispering in his ears, and I gave that as a thing. And I figured I'd do it. I wouldn't do that again. But it's like that. That's what God wants to do. Put his arm around you and just have the closeness. Just have that idea that we're going to be intimate today. Intimacy is not a bad word, by the way. But that we are going to be close than we ever were. God says you can't do that if you look at the wicked and you envy him for what they've got. Or we should look and actually see what they don't have. They don't have peace. You know how I know they don't have peace? Because they have security guards that keep the public away. They have security fences. They have things where that now the public is at arm's length because, oh, I'm afraid. And it's like, no, don't do that. Don't look at them. And here's another thing. Don't look at them and envy them for what they have, because next verse says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Just believe that. Hey, they're suffering the judgment of God. Okay, so they're rich, they're famous, they fly over the place, they jet set, they got all these things, and they say, wow, they have a flashy, fantabulous life. No. How many of them commit suicide? How many of them, their lives are destroyed? Tiger Woods. His first wife was like, wow, they both, it destroyed. His girlfriends, they're going through a big thing in the thing now. Their personal life is just a mess. A lot of these stars, they have relationships, they get married. No, we figured that was a bad mistake. And 90 days later, they're done. A year later, they're done. And we say, man, I wish I'd have married her. Or the girls, I wish I'd have married him. No, you don't, because there's nothing there. Their relationships do not last. Don't envy them, because the curse of the Lord is upon them. We may not see it, but it is. Okay? It is. Ah, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Those that are seeking after God, that are living righteously, that are living lives with integrity, that are living lives that are full of the Lord and love. And yeah, family. God is with you if you're a just person. Means you're saved, first off. Means you're living righteously, secondly. Does it mean you're witnessing to everybody and you're passing out tracts? You know, no, it doesn't. It means that when you're home, you love your wife, you love your children. It means you're taking care of business the way God wants you to take care of business. That you're honest with all men. That nobody at the end of your life or any portion of your life say, hey, you cheated me on something. No. Rather, you're willing to take the fault, even to a brother in Christ. That nobody can come up and say, you have withheld yourself from me, my brother in Christ. No. Paul, at the end of his life, he said, look, none of you can lay a charge at my feet. I have lived my life above board and bent over backwards for you. For God, actually, rather. For I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And that's what he says. He blessed the habitation of the just. Be not weary in well-doing, Paul tells us in another one, in another verse. Why? Because, man, we just kind of, I tried and I just gave up because, well, nothing worked out. It's like, you know, you didn't try hard enough. You didn't try long enough. Paul, when he was given that thorn in the flesh, I prayed 3 times, and I know Paul, he probably fasted for about 40 days, 3 times, you know, as he put it before the Lord. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Not my grace will be or should be, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. God's grace is sufficient for us in all aspects of our life. In all aspects of our life. Surely he scorneth the scorners. Verse 34. He scorneth the scorners. Who are the scorners? You ever listen to the nightly news? Boy, just, I don't anymore, by the way. I got, because all they did was just scorn everybody that was against their philosophy. They just, I mean, they laugh, they try to, you know, I don't know, they just scorn them. Okay? Case in point, the same with Clarence Thomas. He's one of our Supreme Court judges. Anybody know that? Anybody heard about this? Okay. He's been a Supreme Court judge since Reagan was in office, which is mid-70s, late-70s. He'd been a Supreme Court justice. Yeah, Clarence Thomas, the black guy. And yet now all of a sudden, any of his dealings with his friend are called in suspect. And some of those were years ago. Years and years and years and years ago, they brought him up. They're scorning him. You ought to resign. You ought to do this. You ought to, you know, just be ashamed of yourself. Why? Because he's a conservative. He's a staunch conservative. thought of his words lead me to believe that he's a saved man. Some of his words. But it's one of those things, it's like, you know, they're scorning him. Oh, well, God's going to scorn the scorners. Going to come out, and all you got to do is watch, where you'll see that their life is unfolding and unraveling in front of the world. Whether people choose to do anything about it. Oh, we know a guy that, man, you point out all the negative stuff of and this has to do with politics, of liberals, of people that are against the Word of God. Oh, no, you misunderstand. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You can't see that these are scorners, that these are wicked, that these are, they're fools, they don't believe in God. Oh, yes, they do. No, how can you say that? Oh, because they love people. Wait a minute. They love the homosexual crowd. They love those women that kill their babies in the womb. They love other things that are against the Word of God. And you're going to say that they love God? It doesn't mesh. They're wicked. They're the scorners. They're the oppressors. God is going to scorn them. Okay? God will take care of it. Trust Him for it. Okay? Don't think you can do it single-handedly. I've been in a couple of services and fellowships where a couple of guys will get and they'll start arguing back and forth. Oh, yeah. First of all, this is not the place to do that. Okay? Secondly, we'll trust God and let Him take care of it. Because you know God can do a better job of it than we can. He sure can. God can do a better job of holding people's feet to the fire than I can. Okay? We got to do is let God do His work. But He giveth grace to the lowly. You know who the lowly are? They are the very humble. Okay? The very humble. Yes, they're saved, but not all saved people are humble. Yeah, okay. I'm humble to a certain extent, but I am not lowly. I have just admitted a fault to you of mine, to you, everybody here, in public. I have a certain amount of humility. Oh, you're just pride saying that. No, I'm even honest with you guys. But there are things that I am not humble about. And it's one of those things, it's the lowly. God giveth grace to the lowly. You want to know a lowly man? Paul. Paul was a lowly man. Yes, he said, hey, bear with me in my foolishness. And then he starts saying stuff about I was a Pharisee, I was this, I went through that. This is what I've all done for Christ. I'm foolish, he says, beforehand by telling you this stuff because I'm not really bragging. I'm telling you that it can be done. You can do all things through Christ because He strengthens you. You can have that life that Paul had, where even at the end when he had the thorn in the flesh and he had other things, he was imprisoned, he was chained, he was, you know, isolated. Well, he did have people come in. How's that? He was still able to witness. And he says in one scripture that even all of Caesar's household. How about that? A Christian is put into a thing where he can be in very Caesar's house. And they all have heard the testimony of God. How about this? Joseph being put in Pharaoh's house, being put in Potiphar's house first. They all knew the testimony of God. As a matter of fact, this old dirty scoundrel Potiphar, it says that Joseph found grace in Potiphar's eyes. Potiphar? The guard of Egypt? The guard of the Pharaoh? He was the leader of the prison? He was the leader of men? Of an ungodly nation which worshipped hundreds of gods? This Potiphar dude, he looked down and he said, oh man, Joseph? What makes you different? Potiphar? I serve God. The little child, taken from her home, taken over to Persia, when her master was stricken with leprosy. What'd she say? Was she concerned about her own situation? Oh, woe is me. I'm taken from my home. My mom and dad are probably dead. I don't know where anybody else because I'm stuck in this palace. I'm stuck in this place. I'm a scullery maid. I am made to serve these ungodly, wicked people. Oh, my goodness. For us, man, we would be overwhelmed. I know a guy that quit a couple of jobs. Well, because my boss is a drunk, my boss. Well, why don't you just stand up and be a witness? Why don't you stand up to the rest of the crew and say, hey, this is God. No, but this little scullery maid, this little slave, she said, oh, that we were in Israel. There's a prophet back home that can save you. And you know what? He listened. Somebody else said, well, maybe there's truth to what she says. She seems convinced. And her life here backs it up that she's not serving you guys. She is serving something else. I mean, she's like, wow. Something in her life gave credence, gave weight to what she said about the prophet. And when she spoke, they listened. So he goes to Israel. The prophet doesn't even come out and says, hey, servant, just go tell him, go dump yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Okay. We always hear about the Jordan River, but it's actually a pretty nasty river. It's not very deep. It's all kinds of, you know, it's just a dark river. It's not a good river. And that's what the guy said. You know, he said, look, we got cleaner water back home. The Tigris and Euphrates, they come down there, and it's just beautiful. I can go over to the Nile, and it's just beautiful. You want me to dunk myself? You might wash in that nasty water? Like, wow. And his servant said, look, we came all this way because of the testimony of that little girl. The prophet came and said, you do this. If he had told you to kill 1,000 Philistines, would you have killed 1,000 Philistines? Yeah. If he had told you to go, you know, slay your king, would you have done that to get rid of this? Yeah. Just go dunk yourself 7 times. Okay. I'm clean. And he went back. Hey, I got all this stuff. I got all this gifts that I'm going to give you. No, just go home. All right. I am saved from this point. When I am in with my master, the king, and we go to, and he goes to worship, I have to be there. But just know that when I kneel and he leans on me, I'm kneeling to God. Do you think God blessed him? Do you think that God took a look at his life and said, you know, he's a changed man. I accept his worship. God blessed the house, the habitation of the just. So that now, not only is this little girl a testimony in that kingdom, the general is a testimony in the kingdom. You can't hide being saved from leprosy, can you? He goes over there, his skin is falling off, he's full of all kinds of... They wrap the stuff so that way the pain doesn't get to him, but also it keeps the flesh from falling off. And he goes over there, and he comes back clean as a baby, with skin as fresh. Whoa! People are going to look and say, what happened to you? Wow! It's like when I was saved, what happened to you? Maybe when you were saved, what happened to you, your friend said. Oh, I found Jesus. Oh, I found God. Because of the testimony of this little slave girl, I went. I did what he said, and I believe. Now I know there's a God in Israel. He was a blessed man. Do you think his wife listened to him when he said that? Wow! You're just clean. We have to get you a whole new wardrobe now, but you're just clean. Yeah, because I'm putting off the old man and putting on the new. Isn't that amazing how that works? It's like, wow. Getting rid of this old stinky stuff and just putting on the new. The habitation of the just is blessed. God does that. I don't do it. Man doesn't do it. God does. Look to God. Not to men. You know, because ultimately, the general, he came and he looked to God. Yeah, he had to be convinced. Come on, man. Just do it. It's not going to hurt you. But it helped him, didn't it? It's like when you're dealing with somebody for salvation. Just let go of your pride. Just let go of all this stuff. For us, just let go of looking at people that are in a quote-unquote better place than you are and envying them for what they have and despising your life for what you don't have. Don't do that. Because if you're just, if you're lowly and meek and mild, God will bless you. God will give you more grace for your life. You know, that general, what do you think he did? Do you think he liked, would like, do you think he liked his new body, his new life? Or do you think he wanted to go back to that old stuff, that old man, the old leprous guy? No, he says, look, I'm bound to God, to Jehovah. I'm bowing to the Messiah that's coming. I believe. And you know something? I bet you the first time he came into the house of Dagon and he was helping his master, the king, to worship, people looked at him and said, there is something different about that man. Yep, you can see it. And I bet you they went up and said, what's going on? And I bet you his story spread all through the town, all through the kingdom. There is a God over there. How many times did Nebuchadnezzar and Xerxes and all those other guys say, oh, now I know there's a God in Egypt, in Israel, because of something that somebody did who was meek, who was lowly, who was righteous, who was just. God gave them grace and they were able to witness tremendously. I believe. Can I prove it? No. But I believe even in the den of iniquity that we call the White House these days, okay, because all kinds of evil stuff is coming out of there that we don't know about yet, but I bet you there's somebody there that's a witness, that's a testimony in that house. Okay. You got to believe it. Pray for them. Don't know their name. Couldn't tell you, you know, anything about them, but just say, God, pray for that person. Whoever it is that you, because, you know, God put Paul to witness to the household of Caesar. There is somebody there that's witnessing to our leaders. Okay. I believe God for that. So pray for that. And learn to give lowly, be lowly. I have a whole couple of other levels that I need to do to be lowly. But it's like, you know, God gives grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be in the promotion of the fools. How is that? The fool gets elevated, gets promoted to shame. It's like, wow. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Because usually when you get a promotion, you get, I get a raise, I get a job, I get a title. People look at me with respect. No. The fool gets shame when they're promoted. But the wise inherit glory from God, not from man. They earn praise from God. Oh, yeah? Like what? Okay. How about Job? Did God give Job praise? Oh, yeah, when Satan comes up and says, God, the only reason Job is serving you is because you protect him. You just bless him. You just said that. Okay, put your hand on him. My servant Job will be able to be victorious over anything that you do. God was bragging on Job. Okay, so don't cringe if God ever brags on you because that means I'm going to be attacked and all this stuff. No. Just say, hey, that's your inheriting glory because God's given it to you. And you know, we still talk about Job these days, don't we? You know, there's even lost people out in the world that talk about Job. The sufferings of Job. One of these days, people look at that, well, what are the sufferings of Job? And they go look up Job. And they see that, hey, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. They will come across that. How do you know that? Well, because that's what God says. They will inherit that glory. They will inherit the blessing of God. From God, not from man. You know, Jesus was pointing out all the things that the Sadducees and Pharisees do, you know, and even the scribes, they got everything written on their phylacteries, written all over their body. They got their hems of their robes, you know, which was, I don't know, that was a special thing. Don't ask me why. I'm not in that culture. And he says, look, all these guys do this, but it doesn't do them any good. Matter of fact, Jesus put them to scorn sometimes, didn't he? Even John the Baptist. Oh, you vipers, you snakes, who has warned you to flee the coming judgment? It's like, wow, that's pretty much the same. But God says, in this day, whatever those scribes and Pharisees do, this is all the reward they're going to get in this time. When they die, it'll be either hell or shame, eternal shame. For them, most likely, it was hell because they did not believe. He says, you trust more in the scriptures than you do in me. And the scriptures that you read and trust in are all talking about me, Jesus said. You're missing something there, guys. A lot of times, Baptists, and I say Baptists because I are one, Christians, will read the Word of God, they'll spout whatever they spout, and they miss Jesus. They miss the relationship with God. They miss things. Well, how do we know this to be true? Church at Ephesus. I commend you because you hate the things that I hate. And you're doing all this stuff, but you don't love me anymore. Wow. That's pretty good condemnation there, isn't it? You turned your back against God. Ooh. We pray, and we ought to pray desperately that this church never turns its back against God. That what this church does is for the glory of God and not our own. The wise shall inherit glory. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're wise, you're going to fear God. You're going to hold God in a holy reverence. You're going to hold God in a place that is far above any man and say, this is who I seek to please. By faith, by the way, you can't please God without faith. Not by doing, not by works of righteousness, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, but because I put God in his first and foremost place. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord, fearing who God is and what he's able to accomplish. Fearing that, you know, God holds the hands of the rulers in his heart. How about you? It's like, whoa. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that I came here this morning to worship. This is the God who loves me and sent his son to die for me. This is the God who says that I want your love above all things. Love the Lord your God. It's even a commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second commandment is just like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love, not doing things per se. Love will lead you to do things. But it's all about loving God and being wise and fearing God. Praying, God, protect my heart that I won't be one of those wicked, foolish people. That I won't look upon the lost of this world and envy what they have when, Father, I have you. How is that for a change? God, I have you. I will walk with you this day. And nothing will be able to sway me. Nothing. Okay. We'll start chapter 4 next week. Chapter 4, I like chapter 4. It's a good chapter.